Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
All right. Come on, why don't we just lift our hands just one more time in the presence of God and just believe God for miracles. We don't have to wait for the end of the service. God is here right now. I've said before, I love that Psalm, Psalm 121, verse 1. It says, I lifted up my eyes to the mountains, to the Lord, because this is where my help comes from. It comes from the maker of heaven and earth. And I love that the psalmist would say, when I'm in trouble, I lift my eyes to the Lord. This is where my help comes from. Friends, it doesn't come from witchcraft. It doesn't come from tarot cards. It comes from the Lord. Miracles come from the Lord. And so, God, we thank you, Lord, for those who need perhaps even a financial miracle today. God, that your hand is not too short to do the thing that is required in people's lives, to sell a house, buy land, to get out of financial trouble. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd make a way for us. For those maybe struggling with anxiety or fear, oh God, your word says that you set us free. Maybe you're here with the doctors have said this is your forever. That you will have arthritis, you'll have cancer. It's simply not true. The doctors are bad. It's just there's a higher report. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, by your stripes I am healed. You are healed. So come on, we'll just lift our hands. Do a supernatural moment. The worship team have just led us so well. And God, we just thank you, Lord, that this is the day that the Lord has made. We believe that. Something's going to shift for us. Something's going to turn for us. As we've created room for it, for you, Lord, you're going to fill it. And we thank you, Lord, and we honor you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Amen. Come on, let's give God a big clap. Amen. Yeah, have a seat. Turn to somebody and say, I like that Kiwi. I like that New Zealander. I like his accent. I like his jacket. And as Beck said, we are blessed to be here. And we love your pastors, Pastor Az and Beck are sensational leaders. And we were out for dinner last night and all night they were just bragging about you and the church and how good things are going. And I'm a little bit jealous. Who thinks that Az is a good-looking man? He is a good-looking man. You know, I got up this morning and I texted Az. This is a true story. I said, Az, you're a good-looking man. I just sent it off to him because I thought, you know what? He's a good-looking man. Maybe it was the Lord just speaking to me about you know, and the haircut story. Amazing, isn't it? What a great pastor. I'm going to get my haircut. And we have haircut competitions now. Who's got the best haircut story? But who knows? Who knows that as, although he's a very good, godly man, who knows that Beck's just a little bit better? Do you think? I mean, she is nicer. She is nicer. That's the nicest introduction I've ever had. And now I'm in the family, so that's good. And we want to be in the family. And I've got my son, Jonathan Cabala, with me. Johnny, how you doing, mate? And Johnny's just traveling with me at the moment, and I'm blessed to have him with me. And I'm controlling myself, Johnny, to not to tease you. But I don't know. All right. Oh, here we go. Okay. So I'm the youngest of eight in my family. In New Zealand, it's very cold. That's why there's so many children. And yes. And more so because I was brought up right at the bottom of New Zealand. Part of my story is that although I was brought up in a very loving environment for myself at the age of 13 years old, I was diagnosed with leukemia, which is cancer of the blood, and that's a bad moment. And for a few years, I've fought for my life. And I was in and out of school, as you do when you're very, very sick. But when I was 15 years old, I was sitting beside a pretty girl in geography. And I really, really liked her. And she said to me, do you want to come to a youth group thing? And I said, yeah, I want to come to youth group. What's youth group? And she said, well, it's where people get together and talk about God. And I said, sure. And a few weeks after that, I made a decision for Christ. And what I mean by that is they invited me to pray a prayer asking Jesus to come into my life, saying I'm sorry for any mistakes I've made, for any sin that is in my life. And I give you my life, and I thank you for taking away my sin, and I choose to follow you. I am amazed and continually amazed how powerful prayer is. You know, Pastor Az stirred me up about men's prayer because he said, you know, our guys pray. And I was like, oh, yeah, wait a minute, our men don't pray. And so we started a prayer meeting because I'm trying to beat Beacon Church. And Az is still winning. We had 17 on our Monday morning prayer meeting with the guys. And I think Janine had 40 girls in her first prayer meeting last week. So go the girls. And but, you know, we know that men's prayer counts more than women's prayer. So, like, because we are, what are we? I don't know. We're nothing. Shush. Okay, move on. Okay, good. But what I'm trying to say is, and I believe with all my heart, if we knew how powerful prayer was, we would have hundreds at it. Yeah. Isn't it true that it's amazing that one prayer can change your whole world? Yeah. Your eternity, actually. That one minute you're not going to heaven, a prayer later, and now you are. If I was God, I would make that a lot more complicated. A lot more complicated. Like maybe you'd have to serve in a charity for 1,000 hours or something like that. That might get you in the kingdom of God, or give $1 million to charity, or to a healing evangelist. I just dropped that in. But certainly not a prayer. Prayer is a prayer, a surrendered heart. That's too easy. But God didn't want to make it complicated because he loves you so much. He just, if you would humble yourself, if you would just surrender yourself and let me in, you wait and see what God will do. Here was a broken, broken boy, confused, hurt, sick, having radiotherapy, chemotherapy. But I said yes to the Lord, and boom, he came in. And I remember that day like it was yesterday. And everything began to change because of a moment in time. 6 months later, the leukemia came back. Oh, how annoying. I thought when you become a Christian, everything would go your way. You know what I mean? Like the sun would be sunnier, the moon would be, the grass is greener, girls just fall at your feet. I don't know. It's like, but that didn't seem to happen. And isn't it true that if you're a Christian or a non-Christian, life can throw its curveball at you. And how you deal with that moment in time, where the doctors have said this or that, or whatever situation you're going through, this is what we call life. And I would rather do it with God than without God. I was very, very sick. 5 years in and out of hospital with massive doses of chemotherapy, radiotherapy, bone marrow transplant. Who knows what I'm talking about? A long time. Now, you got to understand, my mum and dad were devout Catholic people, and I believe that every prayer counts. I do believe that. In my room, you've never seen such an array of rosary beads. I had like rosary beads forever, prayers on my wall, water from Lourdes, if you know what that is. And not only that, I had Pentecostal people praying for me and other people praying for me. There's one moment where I was very, very sick. In fact, I was so thin, you could have seen every rib on my body. I long for those days, actually. But with one hand, I could put my hand around my leg and touch the whole side. to go to the bathroom, I had to stand like this, otherwise I would just tip over. I had no muscles. My parents had organized the Catholic priest to come and give me my last rites, preparing me for burial. Who knows, that's a bad day. That's a flat out bad day, because you think you're going to die. The doctor's telling me I'm not going to live. And then on the same day, my youth pastors who led me to the Lord. Are there any youth leaders here today? Give me a wave. Any kids leaders here? Give me a wave. Listen, if your children are stuck and they don't know what to do, call the youth pastor. If it's the middle of the night, doesn't matter. Call the youth pastor. If they need a ride, call the youth pastor. That's their job. They've only got one job. You don't know. Anyway, I'm moving on. Call the youth pastor. So the youth pastors came in. They said, Andrew, holding a big Bible, they said, Andrew, we've got a different report. We believe we've got a word from God saying this is not going to lead to death. I remember looking at them, and I want to speak into your situation, because perhaps today you're tired. Perhaps today there's been sickness for a long time. Not just a head cold today, but maybe there's been arthritis for 15 years. Maybe there's been cancer lingering for many years, and you're worn out. And I felt like I was worn out. I could have said to them, and it was within my rights to say to them, why are you teasing me now in this last minute? How cruel of you to get my hopes up when everybody else is saying it's lost. I could have said to them, get out of my room. And maybe because I had manners, or maybe because I was too embarrassed not to let them pray for me. But I remember saying, come on then, I don't know, just do what you need to do. But they had faith. They had faith. They weren't coming to my hospital with a bunch of flowers and some chocolates. They were coming with something else. They were coming with the power of God. And when they put their hand on me, my chest, I could feel something burning inside of me. The very next hour, the doctors were taking my blood, came back and said, Andrew, something has shifted in your blood. In your blood. I wish I could say, and I've been doing this a very long time, I wish I could say I jumped out of the hospital and ran around the hospital. It's not true. But day by day by day, from that day on, everything began to turn for me. Something is about to shift for you. And I believe that your pastors have orchestrated this meeting today for the miraculous to come and to touch your life. I'm speaking like this because I know there are people in this room and you are tired. You've been prayed for before. It didn't seem to go the way that you wanted to, but I'm telling you right now, I believe, going back to prayer, that every prayer counts. And it's like incense going up to the Lord. Believe that your prayers are going up to God. And for whatever reason on that day, God says, Andrew, this is the day that the Lord has made for you. You're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And I think as that the Lord took me to the 11th hour, as it were, to the very last minute, so that I could pray for you where you are struggling, where you feel like you're in your last hour. I'm telling you right now, God can make a way where there seems to be no way. Something can shift for you. And we have seen it time and time and time again where everybody else has given up, but God will make a way. Even in our church and a Believe Church. Recently, we had our niece, our beautiful niece, was carrying twins. And you know, the truth is, if I'm being honest, I find it easier to believe for your miracle than my miracle. It's hard to believe that God would heal me or even somebody close to me. And a beautiful niece is so loved by her family, and to hear that the twins had a bad report. She was told that she had to abort the babies, that there's no way that these babies are going to survive. And so at conference, Beck was there, I was there, Johnny was there. We're all praying for this miracle to happen, thinking God, and time again, they'll go back to get scans, no good, bad report. But I said, no. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is going to turn around. This is going to shift. I'm not standing for this. We're going to believe. And I'm telling you right now, it's a fearful thing. But I want to tell you today, the twins have been born. They're beautiful. They're healthy. God can make a way. God can do something amazing for our life. And I think of all the people who prayed for me. And I say, God, thank you for that. Later, we will be praying. And I always say to people, when I'm praying for somebody, I'm thinking, this could be my dad or my mum. It changes the way you pray. Because if you're praying for mum, who knows that you're not getting a latte when mum's on the stage or mum's up the front? No way. You're standing and praying and weeping. And Beacon Church, I want to tell you, this is the family of God. This is our family. And so when somebody gets prayed, we're praying with full voice. And I believe that more people get prayed in church than outside of church. Why is that? Because, again, every prayer counts. And the faith in the room is called a corporate anointing, shifts and changes atmospheres. I want to talk to you, if I can, just quickly, when you need a miracle. From time to time, you will need a miracle. And when you need a miracle, there are things that you can do. Truly, there are moments in life when encouragement just isn't enough. Advice isn't enough. Even good theology isn't enough. You don't need inspiration. You need intention. You need a miracle. As I said before, miracles come from God. Today is for the people who need God to step into their life. Take a moment. Can something shift for you? Can something turn for you? Do you need God to step into your life? Listen to this interesting Bible verse in Mark, in verse 40. It's a famous little story. A man with leprosy came to him, that's Jesus, and begging on his knees, if you're willing, make me clean. Jesus was indignant. Interesting. He reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. You know, it's funny because when the leper came, an unusual phrase, he said, Jesus was indignant. I was researching what was behind that. And what it was that Jesus was angry at what sin would do to somebody. Not his sin, but the sin of the world. How the world had introduced so much sickness. And he was angry at sickness. Indignant at the sickness, not the man, but at the sickness. The leper didn't question Jesus' ability. He questioned his willingness. And as I said, and let me just go back to the thought, we know that God is able, but will he do it today? I want to tell you that God can make a way for us. That's where many people are living. I know God can. I've seen him do it for others, but will he do it for me? Healing is not just something Jesus does. Healing is something he wants to do. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, by his stripes we are healed. One of my favorite verses is the healing evangelist. Why is that? The reason is because on the way to the cross, and many of us have received salvation and understand that on the cross, Jesus took away the sin of the world. We've prayed the prayer. We're living the life. We understand that. But for whatever reason, our theology doesn't understand that every whipping, every beating, every spear in the side, the crown of thorns, all had purpose. The purpose was for our healing and for our breakthrough. So I want you to know that God is front-footed. He is willing and able and wanting for healing to take place just as much as your salvation. On the same day, he did it all. Your deliverance, your salvation, and your healing. If Jesus was willing then, he's willing now. Because he hasn't changed. Hebrews 13 verse 8. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's willing to heal your body. He's willing to restore your marriage. He's willing to break addictions. He's willing to heal trauma. He's willing to intervene in your financial capacity. He's willing to touch your life this morning. You are not a burden to him. You're not a burden to him. He's front-footed. He's saying, I want you to come. I love you so much. You're not an inconvenience, and you're not forgotten. How many nights in the hospital room when the lights were out and the devil would come to me and he would say, you're forgotten. You're by yourself. But I want to tell you that God sees you. You have thought that. You've thought that God has passed you by. He's forgotten your prayers. It's not true. Your pastors, something is stirring inside of them, saying, you know what? We need to have a healing meeting. We need to see a breakthrough in our church and our people. I thank God for Pastor Az and Beck for their faith and their belief and their strength. For the miraculous and for the church and for breakthrough. Come on, give your pastors a big hand. The heroes. Believe in God for you. Could you imagine the leper? Oh. Leprosy was not a good thing to have back in the day. Like a really, if you're going to have anything, probably don't want to have leprosy. There was no cure, did you know? No cure. No doctor could cure leprosy. And in that generation, a leper had never been healed. How did the leper have faith? How did the leper know? Maybe if you could just, my theology can stretch for a little bit. Maybe in the lepers' tents, where they are warming themselves late at night, they would hear the stories. Hear the stories of Jesus. A new person, a theology, a savior is now in town. Oh, the deaf are now healed. The blind can see. I heard a story of a man being lowered through the roof, paralyzed, and he walked out holding his stretcher. Could you imagine the stories, the rumors going around about Jesus? Somebody saying, oh, did you hear this one? A man dead for 3 days named Lazarus. And Jesus called him out and he walked out in his grave clothes. Hearing the stories, faith coming to him. Knowing that it's impossible for a leper to be healed. Jesus, now, oh, shut the gate. is walking by. Walking by. And here he is. And here I am. And here he is. And he goes, I'm going to give it a go. And he falls at his feet and say, Jesus, if you're willing, make me whole. And what does Jesus say? I'm willing. I want to tell you, Jesus is saying he's willing. He is willing today. He's wanting it to happen. And Jesus, because he's a rock star, because he was cool, because he was above everything else, he says, yep, and he puts his hand on him. Next level. Next level. Why is that? Because you put your hand on a leper, you're going to get leprosy. You're going to get leprosy. And what Jesus is doing is he is declaring in the heavenlies. He's declaring over your life, I am above sickness. I am above sickness, infirmity, death, and destruction. I'm above leprosy. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm above it all. I will go down to hell and take the keys of death and Hades. And I will come up victorious. I am God. And I am above leprosy. Shut the gate. Could you imagine all the people watching? And Jesus put my hand on them. I'm above. God is above your sickness. You think arthritis is too big for him? It's not true. You think you don't understand, Pastor Andrew. This is the big deal. This is the problem. He's above it all. I lifted up my eyes to the mountains, to the Lord. This is where my help comes from. It comes from the maker of heaven and earth. The truth of this story and the truth, even as a church, I don't know if you know what church is all about. But the worship team were practicing all week so that you could lift your eyes to the Lord. If I could, that's what they're trying to. Every time, as preachers, every time back preachers, every time I'm preaching to my church, I'm trying to get them. If I could lift for you, I would do it. I mean it. You're so stubborn. Just lift your eyes to the mountain, to the Lord. I don't know how the leper did it, but he was miraculous because he fell at his feet, begging. Jesus was willing. He says, oh, the miracle happened. Miracles move to expectant faith. One of the worship team could join us. Jesus heals the man with leprosy. He heals it. The man came to him begging him on his knees, hoping for years suffering, spent everything and got worse. Some of you are exactly like that. You've been to the doctors more than once, more than twice, and it seems to get worse. But he said only if he passed by, he took an opportunity. Notice he didn't wait for Jesus to stop. He came running towards him. Miracles respond to bold faith and expectation. Not perfection, not your history, not your qualifications, your faith. Some people are waiting for God to move first. But sometimes faith reacts before it sees it. Faith prays again. Faith shows up again. Faith believes again. Faith steps forward again. Miracles are not a product of hype, but they are drawn by expectation. I'm not trying to hype you into faith. I'm trying to lift your eyes to the one who can make a way for you, who can heal your body. I'm spitting now. So it must be a good message. I see, sorry, Beck, I think projectiles are coming your way. But I'm telling you right now, I'm passionate. And this is not a game or a dress rehearsal for me. We're not coming back as a cat or a dog. This is our one shot to give glory to God, to come into His presence, to believe again, to shift our faith towards God and have an expectation of God. You might be saying, well, Andrew, I didn't even want to come to church today. A friend brought me. And I'm sitting here listening to you, and you're from New Zealand even. It's terrible. If I could speak for your friend today, you know what their prayer is? If they could just lift their eyes, a miracle could come for them. Something could turn for them. If He is willing, miracles respond to faith. Today is not an ordinary day. You may have a diagnosis, a broken relationship, a mental health battle, a long-term thing that hasn't shifted. But I want to tell you, heaven is not closed for business. Heaven is open for business. Jesus is still in the healing business. Jesus is willing, and today we are moving forward with Him and with faith. The cross settled the question of willingness. Let me say that again. The cross settled the question of willingness. Is He willing? I'll prove it to you. I'll go to the cross. A reasonably big deal for our eternity. I say to our church, we have moments like this all the time. And in a moment, I'm going to ask people to respond, to either come forward and get prayer or give your life to Jesus. But I say to your church, you know, you may be sitting there thinking, oh, I don't know if I can do it. I just say to the church, talk to your legs. Talk to your heart. Tell them to move. Move your legs. Come down and see that God is not good. See that He's not kind. Here I was, broken, busted up. 5 years. 5 years was a long time. In and out of hospitals. Experimental treatments. Radiotherapy, chemotherapy, tubes going into the center of my brain. It's all happening. Broken. But one prayer catapulted me into a brand new day. I thank God that everybody prayed for me, but I thank God that God chose in my 11th hour to do something. Because God healed me, I've got a cheekiness, a belief inside my spirit that God can do it for you. I really do. And you may be sitting there going, man, this has been tough for me. I get it. But I'll fight for you. Pastor Az and Beck, we're going to fight for you. We're going to lift up your hands. We're going to pray for you one more time. And we're going to continue to pray for you until you have your breakthrough. But I believe it's here today. And before we pray for the miracle of healing in your life, if I can just say this, we all need to pray for your salvation, for your soul. Can I be kind, but can I just frame it like this? The truth is, you can get to heaven with cancer, but you can't get to heaven with sin in your life. You can get to heaven with sickness in your body, but you can't get to heaven without a relationship with God. The greatest miracle for me when I was 15 years old, giving my life to Jesus, something turned for me. And I tell you right now, I'd rather be walking through a hard time with God than without God. So in a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer, asking Jesus to come into your life. Maybe you're here for the first time, second time. You're saying, Andrew, I know a little bit about God, but I'm not in relationship with God. I would love to invite you to pray a prayer asking Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior, saying sorry for any mistakes, any sin in your life, and today declaring that God is your Lord and Savior. And we're going to pray that prayer just where you're seated, just where you are, so you don't feel alone or embarrassed. But I believe that God will see you. He sees you. And I believe as you pray this prayer, your heart will turn. There are other people, and you've been around church world for a long time, been in and out, maybe you come to church, but you know that you're not living for God. You're not in relationship with God, not like I'm talking about, and something needs to turn for you. Maybe you're here, and you're to say to me, Andrew, if I was to walk out of this room and get hit by a car and face death like you had to as a teenager, standing before God, you don't know whether you'd be in or out. There'd be a fear of where my eternity would be. But I want to invite you to pray this prayer, a gateway prayer to a relationship with God, so that you can have an assurance of your salvation as you're walking with God, walking with Him, that something is about to turn for you. What I ask our church to do, so I'm very clear, is in a moment I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Not now, but in a moment. Because when you close your eyes, isn't it true that everything else disappears, but your soul and your thoughts are illuminated? And I want you to ask this one question to your soul. Am I in relationship with God? There you go. And as soon as you do that, I believe that God will begin to speak to you. Certainly. Maybe there's not an audible voice booming down from heaven, but definitely a knowing in your spirit where you stand with God. For many people, before you even pray, you know where you stand. So it's not a matter of if God talks even. It's whether you'll be honest or not. And when's the last time you're honest with God? Isn't that a strange thing? To be honest with God and say, God, I need help at the moment. I said to Az, I was up at 2 o'clock this morning praying for you. Praying for the service. Stirred. I felt like God saying to me, there are many people that are saying, I cannot have another year like last year. I feel like people are saying to me, if I think about the last 12 months, it was an absolute train wreck. And the reason being is because I wasn't walking with God. But something has to turn for me. Something has to shift for me. Insanity, they say, is doing the same thing, expecting a different result. No. Give your life to Jesus. Make the change and see that God is good. Come on, take a moment. Just close your eyes. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, am I in relationship with you? And as you ponder that thought, let me pray for you. God, I thank you for those people who are here for the first time, second time, visiting perhaps from another church and saying, Andrew, it's true. I know about God, but if I'm honest, I'm not in relationship with God, not like you're talking about. But something has to turn for me. Maybe you're here, you say, Andrew, I've been around church world, but again, I'm lost. I don't know what happened on Saturday night. I don't know what happened on Friday night. But God saw it, and He can forgive you of it. Maybe you're here and you say, Andrew, you know what, today, I'm honest, if I was to stand before God, I don't know where I'd be. I don't know if I'd be in heaven or hell. There'd be a fear and uncertainty around that moment, but would you pray with me so I can have a relationship with God? Friend, if you're in one of those categories, you say, Andrew, I need you to pray for me. I just, where you sit, just lift up your hand so I can see who we're praying for. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Who else? Thank you in the back, thank you in the front, thank you, thank you, thank you. Who else today is saying, Andrew, that's me. Something has to turn. Something has to shift for me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Who else is saying, Andrew, that's me. That's me. Come on. You're saying, Andrew, thank you over here, thank you over here, thank you over here. You're saying, Andrew, you know that verse that says, lift up your eyes to the Lord. This is where my help comes from, friend. Lift your hand to the Lord, because this is where your help comes from. How do you lift your eyes? How do you just lift your hands? Say, God, I'm praying this prayer with earnest. Thank you, thank you. Who else today? You're saying, Andrew, thank you, sir. So that, thank you. Who else? Thank you. So many hands. In fact, why don't we do this? Maybe you didn't lift your hand. Maybe you did. But right now, every person that lifted your hand, would you lift it one more time so I can see? I would even like to count, because I want you to know that God sees you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, at least 35. Come on, give God some praise in this place. Still people lifting their hands. Amen. Praise God. Come on, what do we just, right where we are, we're going to put a hand on our heart and pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, come on, pray it out loud. Dear Lord Jesus, this morning I'm asking you into my life as my Lord and Savior. I give you my life. I give you total control. Forgive me for any mistakes, for any sin, because I know you died on the cross to take away the sin of the world. Take away my sin. Today, I am a new creation. I'm a child of God. Now let me pray for you, God. I thank you for all those people who lifted their hands, and for others too who didn't lift their hand but prayed that prayer with earnest. God sees everything. God, I pray you would touch them. You would bless them. Today would be a day of a defining moment of them coming to you, coming back to you, and finding that relationship with you. In Jesus' name, bless them. Amen and amen. Come on, one more time. Let's give all those people a beautiful hand. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.